Yo, and welcome to Kind of Funny Games Daily for Wednesday, October 20th, 2021. All the days blend together, y'all, but it doesn't matter. It's all good. We're going to get there. I'm your host, Jan Garcia, and joining me is Tim motherfucking Geddes. What is
What's
good?
What's up, Janet? Oh, man. So right before the show started, the intro played, and you guys could hear it, but we couldn't hear it. And it hung on the Kind of Funny Games Daily logo for longer than I expected it to. And I was like, huh, are we starting? What's going on? And then boom. Here we are. It is what it is. What a banger news day, Janet. I think this might be the biggest news day you and I have ever had together. So I'm very excited about that. But before we get into it, I just want everyone to know, don't make fun of my eye. Something happened. I think a bug bit me. It really hurts. So just be nice.
This is like the lore is finally becoming real.
It does look weird.
Of people always saying that people got bit by snakes and stuff. Oh my gosh.
It just looks like a little puffy. Like you didn't sleep. You stand up all night again?
No, it was hurting me yesterday, and then I woke up this morning, and it's like I don't see as much out of my eye. It's like blocking my eye. It sucks. I feel like
this sounds serious. You know?
No, I think I
remember
mean
that we'll one see. Time we had that conversation.
That's different. It's different. Anyways, and enough about the eyes.
It's rough, but I'm excited because we got a bunch of news to get into today. And also, today is the first day of the rest of my life because yesterday I beat Metroid Dread, and now I can go on. And be free, like oh my god, it was so much, it was so difficult, so many feelings, so many things.
Congratulations!
Thank you so much, I appreciate it. It was super painful. Today's stories include God of War on PC, Cyberpunk and The Witcher's next gen delay, Grasshopper's 10-year plan, and more, because this is Kind of Funny Games Daily. We're each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. If you're watching live, you can correct us when we get stuff wrong by going to kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. Also, I say that all the time in my like regular life, like we'll be having a regular conversation and I'm like kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. Yeah, you have to. If you don't want to watch live, you can watch later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, or listen later on podcast services around the globe by searching Kind of Funny Games Daily. Remember, you can use Epic creator code Kind of Funny on all Epic Store and Epic in-game purchases like Rocket League and Fortnite to help support the channel. To be part of the show, head to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, where bronze members or above get to write in, and silver members or above get the show ad-free along with the exclusive daily post show. Some housekeeping for you. A new episode of Gamescast is up, and it features head of Xbox Game Studios, Matt Booty. And in case you missed it...
It's a great episode. Fantastic
Were you on that episode?
Yeah, oh yeah. It was me, it was Bless, Andy, and Snowbike Mike. We had him on. Xbox asked to do the Gamescast instead of the Xcast, and I was like, that's a lot of pressure for me. I am not prepared for this. I feel like I did pretty good, though. So go check that out. Go support the homies. And yeah, Matt Booty was awesome. So transparent, so cool. Love that the crew over at Xbox are always down to really talk about stuff and kind of be honest about where things are at. I wish other groups would do that as well. Come on, step it up.
Hell yeah. Without giving too much away for people, what was one of your favorite tidbits that came out of that conversation?
Kind of him talking about how he views PlayStation's library and how he views Xboxes differently, but where there is the overlap. I thought it was really interesting how he broke down kind of the success stories that we don't see, that we're not talking about. One of the questions I asked him was, Sea of Thieves was kind of a over time success, where it went from, you know, oof, that was a rough launch, to 25 million concurrent players, or not concurrent, but active players. And I was like, are there other stories like that that the media is not necessarily talking about? And he kind of went into some. So that was, I think, really, really cool.
Nice. Yeah, can't wait to listen to it. And in case you missed it, you also have the second episode of the Arkham Files, which is already live over on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. And it's all about why Batman Arkham City is the best at making you truly feel like Batman. The next episode of the Arkham Files premieres this coming Monday, October 25th. And it's all about why Batman Arkham Origins was left behind and forgotten and why it's better than you remember. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Pranksy and Blackjack. Today, we're brought to you by Canva and ButcherBox. But we'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin what is and forever will be the Ripper Report. It's time for some news. We have six stories today.
Baker's dozen.
Let's start with the big one, which it's, I feel like on any day, any of these stories could have been the big story, which is a testament to how wild this day is. But let's get into God of War being on PC. This comes over from the PlayStation blog, which writes, "We're thrilled to announce that God of War 2018 will be coming to PC on January 14th, 2022. As of August 2021, 19.5 million copies of God of War on PlayStation 4 have been sold, and we can't wait to share that experience with a whole new group of players on PC. Our primary goal when bringing God of War to PC was to highlight the exceptional content the team created and leverage the powerful hardware that the platform offers to create a uniquely breathtaking and high-performance version of the game. You'll be able to enjoy the full potential of our cinematic no-cut camera as it follows Kratos and Atreus across the realms with the option of true 4K resolution on supported devices and unlocked frame rates. Our PC version includes a wide range of graphical presets and options so you can fine-tune your visual experience based on your setup, from higher resolution shadows and improved screen space reflections to enhancements to the ambient occlusion pipeline with GTAO and SSDO. God of War on PC can create striking visual quality unique to the platform. We're also happy to announce that we will have full integration of NVIDIA Deep Learning Super Sampling, DLSS, available on RTX. You won't have to sacrifice high graphical settings and output resolutions for high performance in God of War. In addition to DLSS, we will also have NVIDIA Reflex low latency technology available. Reflex delivers a more responsive experience, allowing you to react quicker and hit harder combos. Real pro gamer hours out here. Alongside the graphic and performance improvements, we are also offering 21.9 ultra wide screen support. Before getting into the conversation, I want to pull in a question that Frank Furter wrote in with, saying, "Good morning, Janet and Tim. Kratos and Boy are officially coming to PC January 14th next year. Pause for applause. I know a majority of us here are happy and excited about it, but there is still the fanboy crowd who is going to try and poo-poo all over the announcement. With Sony sporadically starting to release more and more of its first-party titles on PC, do you think they need to release a message of what to expect in the future and their commitment to put more on PC? While we are not entitled to anything as consumers, it would be nice to see a roadmap for what they have planned for future PC releases. Thank you for all you do. React."
To break down here, first off, I'm very excited this is happening. I think that it's really important for Sony's IP to not just be locked to the PlayStation console, especially after it's been out on the PS4 for a couple of years. It can kind of get a new life, get a whole new audience. We've seen major success already with Death Stranding on PC and with Horizon Zero Dawn on PC as well. And God of War, I mean, this is definitely the biggest one, right? Like, this is the one that I think is going to sell the most. And we know we already have Uncharted coming, at least some of the Uncharted games next year. It's a little bit of a bummer we're not getting all of them, but I do think that we're in this point, to Frankfurter's question, where we're not quite ready to have the roadmap. I don't think Sony's quite ready to own the conversation of, hey, we're making PS5 games, they're also coming to PC day and date and all that. We're just not there. So I don't think a roadmap necessarily makes sense. I don't think that they want to put themselves in the position to say, hey, our games are going to come to PS5 and then a year later to PC. Any type of messaging like that is going to kind of kneecap them a bit in a way that I don't think that they would ever want to do. It behooves them to focus on the console version first and then make a big deal like they are here for the PC version whenever they decide to do it, unless they decide to do them closer together, which I don't think is out of the realm of possibility at this point. Anything's possible. I never would have thought that we'd see God of War on PC. That's crazy. But we are. We're getting it. We're getting Uncharted. We got Horizon. Like, I we're clearly seeing Sony dip their toes into this game. But what excites me most is how much they're integrating with a lot of the PC specific stuff. Like, as you guys all know, we're partnered with NVIDIA for a lot of things. We legitimately love DLSS. It is magic tech. I can't believe that it works as well as it does, where it allows the resolution to look so much higher than it is and the game still run great without overly taxing your PC. That's the type of stuff that really is going to enhance next-gen experiences, or like, not even next-gen, sorry, AAA experiences, console games like God of War, of really letting them shine. This ultra-wide support, very excited. Horizon Zero Dawn looked absolutely beautiful on an ultra-wide. I'm a little bummed there's not 32x9, but that's just me being extremely, extremely picky and selfish and wanting to see Kratos in as wide, as ultra, super ultra-wide of a vision as possible. But I'm extremely excited about this. All the reflex support and all that, like, this game already ran super well. It's just going to run better and look even better. Them talking about the native 4K, that's awesome. Hell yeah.
Yeah, I think as far as a roadmap goes, we don't see that really for any ports, and I think that's kind of why there's not a roadmap. And I'd be surprised if there was one outside of maybe if they have like a highly specific. Well, the reason I think feel like there won't be a roadmap either is because I feel like they kind of have already talked about what their ideas are for PC, and really the idea is to put the PC ports out there to reach more players and also hopefully get more people excited about PlayStation.
What about Ragnarok?
Exactly. So ultimately, it's about when the ramp up to the next thing is. So I do think this is kind of an intentional thing where we're seeing it on PC because there's another game coming out. You know, same thing with like Horizon and a lot of their other like titles. I guess The Stranding's kind of in a unique position in that sense. Like there was the director's cut, but I think it's always a case by case basis with what they're going to bring to PC, and saying anything more intensive than that or more like set in stone than that is just setting yourself up for failure, unless you're really going to execute on something like how Xbox has like day and date for Game Pass, but they have like complete control over that, and that's like that's a lot easier I think to do than what they're kind of doing over with like porting stuff to PC as well. So yeah, I think overall this is good because it gets people more excited about the PlayStation brand, and for me as a consumer, you know, I do think it's important to have that attitude of more people should be able to play more games more easily as much as possible. Like those things are dope. Having deals is dope. Like whatever gets people more access is ultimately going to be beneficial, as long as it's still, you know, benefiting the people that made it in some degree, which this is. But I'm also someone who loves game, you know, console gaming and console exclusives. And that is like very much the identity of those systems. I think with something like this, the reason I don't feel like I'm losing anything in terms of, you know, my PlayStation exclusives is because one, this came like way after the fact. So like I care about being there when stuff first drops. So that's always going to be relevant to me. And then two, PC and console are just such a different beast. Like a lot of times when we talk about exclusives, most of those or a lot of those are also on PC, but we still sort of consider them, well, they're console exclusives. So it's still kind of in that console conversation. Like while those spaces have a lot of crossover, I do feel like they have their own identities. And certainly there are plenty of gamers like here and listening to the show that play on both or all platforms, but they still have those kind of distinctive identities and capabilities where I don't really feel like I'm losing anything from my console experiences when stuff's on PC. If anything, I just want more stuff that's on PC to come to console because I have the same issue in the other direction. So hopefully this is something that people are really excited about. I'm looking forward to seeing all of the like streams and energy that are going to come out of when this drops on PC, because I think that's going to be absolutely wild. I think my question for you is, what is the next game that's a PlayStation game that you would like to see come to PC?
I mean, that's interesting. I God of War definitely was the big one. I do think having the OG Uncharted trilogy would be awesome, and I think that it's a little bit weird that they're only doing 4 and Lost Legacy. There must be a reason for that, and arguably 4 and Lost Legacy are the best and the most modern just by default, and I think that, you know, putting them out now would it's not too surprising, but it is just kind of a bummer that they're not all there. But yeah, otherwise, like Bloodborne would be the answer, not for me, but just for the gamers out there, right? Mm-hmm. Like that, like if we got the Bloodborne port, that would make so many people happy. And like that to me is kind of like what this is all about. It's like you were saying, it's like giving more people more access, and that wouldn't just give more people more access to Bloodborne, but it would also give more people access to playing Bloodborne the way they want to, with the higher frame rates and all of that stuff. And especially if they have DLSS and all that stuff, which again, I'm really happy that Sony is making sure that they're partnering with the right people to make sure the PC game, PC version is getting the utmost experience of what is possible. Yesterday, Bless and I were talking about Bloodborne and its sales numbers compared to other PlayStation exclusives and other PC or other Souls games. And it only sold 2 million, which is kind of shocking to me when, you know, even here they're talking about God of War being at 20 million. Obviously, God of War, very different type of IP. It's legacy. There's a lot going in there. But even something like Horizon that was new sold demonstrably better than Bloodborne. If you put Bloodborne on PC, that can help boost those numbers. That even can get this amazing game that so many people love, some of people's favorite game of all time, is now going to be able to be in people's hands if they ever do it, when they ever do it. I expect that they will at some point. But I do think you should lead with the Horizons. You should lead with the God of Wars. And then figure out the stuff, get Bloodborne there eventually, which I think is going to end up happening. To your point about the consoles versus PCs, I do think that the unique identity of PC versus console is getting more and more blurred. We're still years away from it, but I think that we're closer than we ever have of people being able to play PC games, even with whatever PC they have access to. You don't need to have an Alienware with fucking wings on it to be able to play a video game. You could just, like, especially with things like
the cloud. But imagine if you did.
I mean, if you do, I mean, a lot of people do, and, you know, they get to, you know, see Kratos in his freaking high def as possible. But I just think that there is this blurring, especially as consoles kind of become more and more PC-like, and more than that, as the ecosystems kind of mesh and blend, especially on the Xbox side. You know, you have your Xbox account and you get access to both sides, whether it's PC or console. And the exclusives, console exclusives, is it on PC? That stuff I think is so silly. Like, we know what we're talking about. A PlayStation exclusive, an Xbox exclusive, who cares if it's also on PC? It's about consoles. It just means it's not on the other consoles, and that's fine. That's where I end that statement. But what I want to see more of from the Sony side personally is that level of integration. And correct me if I'm wrong, this is a perfect kind of funny.com/you're wrong thing. Can you tie your PSN to these PlayStation games on PC? Can you get trophies? Can it work into that ecosystem? Because I think that would be that one step that I would love to see where, cool, I've played God of War, but if I want to pop in on PC, it's still building into the same structure, the same game, right? And same with all the other games as well. Like, I think that would incentivize more people to double dip or go back or, you know, try to get a different experience on PC with a different playthrough. And I know that might be asking a lot, but it's 2021 and they're doing a really good job overall of making sure that ecosystems are what they're selling, because that is what they're competing with on the Xbox side at this point.
Yeah, that if they could ever integrate that, I think that'd be, like, I wouldn't say a game changer, because if you played it on PlayStation, you already probably did those things if you were, like, looking to pursue things like Platinums or whatever. But I do think that'd be, like, a fun way to sort of blur those lines even further. And yeah, like, for just to make it clear, when I say, like, they have different, like, identities, I do think you're right in that we're seeing things that you see in the PC space, like, come a little bit more to consoles, even with, like, the PS5 storage. When they, like, open the whole thing up, I'm like, no, too close to PCs, where you're, like, playing with really high-tech Legos, and I don't want to do it. But for me, it's just kind of more like people always ask me, like, why I don't just play on PC for, like, many titles. And the reason is just, I just prefer console. So I feel like it's just, when I say, like, they have their own identity, I think that'll always remain true in the sense of having a preference for, like, the way that you play. Like, I like having, as archaic as it can be, like, the game cases and, like, the type of hardware and getting to put it on my TV. And, like, sure, can I theoretically connect a PC to my TV? Yes, I can do, those things are possible, but, like, it's just something about the way I like to play. I do think that's getting interesting too with Steam Deck, where, like, you can finally start to have some of the comforts that I like in the console space are maybe going to be somewhat possible on PC, using that kind of hardware and, like, getting to have, like, games and handheld like that. So I think you're right in that we're seeing a little bit more of that. And someone in chat also mentioned, like, none of this is going to matter when, like, the cloud takes over, which is also very true. Like, I think eventually we will get there. I think we're pretty far out from that being, like, so much the way we play that it's no longer a conversation, but we're definitely seeing more and more.
Inevitable. I mean, yes. Like, the thing is, like, anybody that's like, oh, like, the internet's not good enough or whatever, it's not now. It will be. Like, imagine 20 years ago, not even, fuck, we're so old at this point, 30 years ago, thinking about music. And it's like, oh, yeah, there just straight up won't be physical media for music. And, like, that would be crazy. But that happened. And then it went from, okay, you have to buy it on iTunes, to then just it's streaming everywhere. Like, the majority of people listening to the show right now don't have a single MP3 file on their devices. It's all just from the cloud, right? There's exceptions to that. I'm an exception to that. I still buy CDs, but I am definitely the minority there.
What's the last CD you bought?
Last CD I bought was Lord Solar Power.
And Kevin, what's up?
He's just crazy. Look at him. He's crazy.
I like how immediately you're like, I still buy CDs. And literally at the same time, me and Kevin are just like, I have 8 questions to ask about that.
Oh, no. I love CDs. I love that stuff. I love physical media.
Do you just play them in your car? Or, like, do you have a car? Actually, I don't even know.
I rip them myself. And then I'm very, like,
he's crazy.
You're out here making, like, mixtapes and stuff? Hey, like,
this is what we're talking about, all right? So what we are talking about is, when from music, we moved on to video content, right? And it's insane to think that Netflix went from this DVD subscription service where you're literally getting DVDs in the mail to what it became, which is streaming video, to what it is now, which is streaming 4K Dolby Vision HDR video. Like, sure, is it as good as Blu-ray? No. And guess what? I buy Blu-rays too. I buy a lot of Blu-rays. I buy a lot of 4K Blu-rays.
That makes a lot
and
of
at
sense.
Some point, that's not going to continue. Like, and unfortunately, like, I will be surprised if once the world moves into 8K or whatever bullshit ass gimmick we get next, I don't think we're going to get physical media to go along with it. Like, I think we're at the end of the road for video content, except for there's always going to be the enthusiast thing, just like there's still CDs and vinyls and stuff. Video games are next. We're in the beginning moments of this. We are in the early iTunes era of it. And it is what it is.
I know. I mean, I will move where I need to move to get what I want to get. So whatever, if that means I'm going to go into the cloud, then so be it. Cause I haven't bought like a physical PS5 game, even though I have like the disc drive one. But anyway, speaking of games that are coming out, next gen Cyberpunk 2077 and The Witcher 3 are on their way. But they won't hit until 2022. The company tweeted out, based on recommendations supplied by teams supervising the development of both games, we decided to postpone the releases of Cyberpunk 2077 and The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt until 2022. Our current target for Cyberpunk 2077 is the first quarter of 2022 and second quarter of 2022 for The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt. Did this delay of the next gen version surprise you?
No, it didn't. The Cyberpunk side, definitely not. I mean, obviously, we all understand where that game is. We understand where the world is. We understand that, like, shit's going to be complicated. And they know, at this point, it's their game to lose putting this thing out early. Get it right. Just get it right. That is the most important thing, whether it's 2022, 2023. As long as it's right, that's what matters. The more interesting thing to me is The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt. They're like, yeah, we're doing that, too. That's getting a next-gen update.
I forgot about that.
That's awesome, though. Like, I love that there is this commitment to older games, specifically classic games at this point, like Witcher 3, getting next-gen updates so that it's like they can be technically proficient next to their new games coming out and all that stuff. I just think that's great, and like I always give props to Xbox for doing so good about their frame boosting and all of the Enhanced for X program that they had on the Xbox One X, and then just everything they're doing with backwards compatibility and making sure that old games feel new again. That is so cool to me, and I love that this is happening. It's not surprising to me they're trying to put Cyberpunk out before Witcher. I think that's more of a PR move than a choice that they would want to make themselves. I imagine Witcher 3 is closer to being finished, but they're just like,
that's what I was thinking.
We can't put that out until we put out Cyberpunk.
I guess that makes sense. Like, that's the thing that's, I guess, more, would it be more hyped, more promised, I guess? The thing more people have their eyes on, I guess, would be probably why they are angling it that way. Is this going to get you back into Cyberpunk 2077? Did you end up finishing it? I don't even know, like, where you landed on. Were you in that game?
I beat Cyberpunk. I didn't do too much of it. I didn't do all the extra stuff. I enjoyed my time with Cyberpunk for sure. It had some weird stuff, but I played on a high-end PC at launch, and like I didn't have a lot of the issues people had in terms of like the bugs and all that. So I had a really good experience with it, but it wasn't the transformative kind of, this is more than a video game, than I kind of expected it to be based on a lot of the hype going into it. And I'm not a huge open world guy at the end of the day. Like I definitely take my open world games like once in a while, and usually they're Nintendo focused because that's the type of person I am. But I did enjoy Cyberpunk a lot. But yeah, going back to what I was saying about the upgrades of these like older games like Witcher 3, it's like, this is exactly what I'm talking about with Bloodborne, where it's like, you know, Bloodborne and Witcher are two games that are many people's favorite games of all time. And it's cool to see that CD Projekt Red is showing reverence and respect to that and wanting even more people to be able to play it, especially as, you know, we saw the huge boost in Witcher 3 sales when the Witcher series came out on Netflix. We have the Witcher season 2 coming out at the end of this year. I imagine that's going to have a similar vibe. So with that in mind, I am a little surprised they didn't try to get this out closer to that December time frame to be able to, you know, maximize sales and all that with it.
Right. And what's your Witcher 3 history? Like, is that one you played when it came out? Did you play it after the fact? Have you not gotten to it? Not interested?
Witcher 3? Me? Nah.
Is this the type of game it is?
I don't do horses.
Like any game with horses?
Not even in real life.
Nah, I'm fucking about the horses.
One time he looked at a horse.
I thought for sure you were serious. Nah. I was literally just like Red Dead, like Breath of the Wild. I'm like, well, you don't really use the horse a lot in Breath of the Wild.
Yeah, no. Like I said, I'm just like, I am adverse to the giant open world horses. RPGs that and horses as well. But like the fantasy stuff, all that, not necessarily my bag. And like there are exceptions. I fell in love with Game of Thrones, but it took me watching the first four episodes of Game of Thrones 10 times before I kept going. And I'm so happy I did. And I'm sure if I like committed to Witcher, I would love
just
it
keep
as well.
Restarting it. Just have it be that one game that do you have in your life? A game that you keep retrying to play. What's your game that you keep playing the first like hour of?
I mean, I've beat many times now the Metroid Prime, but Metroid Prime was that game for me when it first came out where I just was so in love with the opening hours of it that I just kept replaying them. And I would like stop, play something else, like get distracted, and then be like, oh, well, I guess I have to start over again. So
that was Last of Us for me for the longest time, where I kept like I played the beginning and then like random things would happen, like I'd just stop playing, so then I'd have to go back and I'm like, well, I might as well restart it. Or like one time I was like, let me just pick up where I left off, but like I didn't upload my save to like the cloud or whatever, and I didn't have like PS Plus at the time or something, and I'm like, all right, well, it's time to once again see that opening. So I know that opening extremely well.
The funniest thing about that, real quick, a story I want to tell is one of my best friends, James, is in love with Kingdom Hearts. Like, he's one of the biggest Kingdom Hearts fans I know. And what is hilarious about him is he has platinumed all of the games that he's played in the Kingdom Hearts series, and he's done all of them. He's done the Chain of Memories, he's done the Birth by Sleep, the 358 Days Over Two, like all of them, except he has not played Kingdom Hearts 2, which makes no sense to me because I think it is easily the best game in the series. And for some reason, he, instead of playing Kingdom Hearts 2, he keeps going back and re-platinuming the old games. Platinuming Chain of Memories takes hundreds of hours.
Is there a reason that he doesn't want to play? Does he just not want to play that second one?
If you're trying to ask me what makes James Burke's head tick, I don't know. I could not answer you that. But what I can tell you is that he has never beat Kingdom Hearts 2, but he has replayed the first couple hours countless times. And Janet, I don't know if you've played Kingdom Hearts 2. The opening hours are fucking trash. It is horrible. You play like 5 hours of bullshit before you even get to the real game. And
I feel
that's
like
all
that's
James
the,
is doing
see, all
over
I ever
and over
hear
and over.
From Kingdom Hearts people is like, don't be like me. That's like all people who like Kingdom Hearts ever they're like, oh yeah, love them, they're terrible, don't come here, don't, you just stay away. So that's why I've never spent any time with Kingdom Hearts. But that's really wild and really specific to have that one specific gap in something where you've gone so deep on every other level. Like, that's like one of the weirder things that I've heard since, like, for me, like my closest comparison is I watched Matrix 2 and 3, but not 1.
Yeah, that's
and
not good.
Like,
man, that is bad.
It just, I know.
Did you
I was
like
a kid
it?
When
you like, man, 2 and 3 are dope.
Yeah. Yeah.
That,
I love 2 and 3. Yeah.
The razors are rad.
Okay, first of all, I feel attacked. Second of all, yeah, it was awesome. Are those movies not all? I love those movies.
Janet, you are
I really
being
enjoyed
attacked.
Those movies.
Those movies are horse trash.
Trash. I feel like, here's the thing.
Horse trash.
Here's the thing. Even if you want to say that, I feel like I got to dig into the cinematography of what you got going on in your life. Because, like, don't be coming out in saying Matrix 2 and 3 are trash. Let me find out you like those old Spider-Man movies and other shit. You know what I mean?
You got like, me. I mean, you don't know. Got me. I don't like those old Spider-Man movies. They're trash, too. Ah, that's
horse
what they are.
Trash, horse trash. Last thing I want to say about James Burke, because I think this is hilarious, is one of the reasons he hasn't played Kingdom Hearts 2. And by the way, like, me and my other friends make fun of him constantly for this, because it's baffling. Why the fuck have you not played this game? You love this franchise. He owns multiple Keyblades that, like, he walks around way too proudly with for the man that he is.
Like full-size ones?
Yes. It's a whole thing. But recently, we've been trying to get him to play more modern games, so we finally got him to play God of War. We finally got him to play Jedi Fallen Order, and finally got him to play The Last of Us, which I knew he was going to love, Last of Us 1 and 2. He is, and the Uncharted games, he's become addicted to those, and now he just keeps replaying those and platinuming those over and over and over. And it's like, what are you doing with your life? But he is now, what I don't understand is, he's a dude that doesn't play that many video games. He has platinumed Cuphead. He has platinumed Bloodborne. I'm like, what the fuck?
Every now and then, was he also like a later stage gamer? Like, was a gamer like later in life, or did he grow up on games?
He grew up on games, yeah.
Okay, cool. Because I've known people that are like, oh, I just started gaming, like at all in the last like year or two, and they're like out here like soulsing it up, and I don't understand.
But the funniest thing is I'll recently call him and just be like, hey, you want to go get lunch or dinner or whatever, and he's just like, oh yeah. I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, oh, I'm playing through Last of Us again. I'm like, why are you playing through Last of Us? He's like, dude, I'm trying to get that world record. I'm like, why are you trying to get the speedrun world record for Last of Us? Like, that seems overly ambitious for you and for what you're trying to do. He's doing pretty well.
I hope he gets it.
No, honestly, I think that, like, last I heard, he was like, his time was like number 30 in the world or something like that. And like, he's working his way up. So
that's wild.
If you're the number one speedrunner, you better watch your back.
Why is this episode so chaotic? And then people in the chat being like late onset, late stage gamer, fatal. What? I don't know what good word for that, because I don't want to say I don't want to say anything that's dismissive. So I just said something that was just generally incorrect, which is usually where we end up going. All right, so here we are. No, there's no Kingdom Hearts 2, but then everything else is platinum. You have CDs, and I've never seen Matrix 1. Let's keep it moving. Mm-hmm. With Sue just saying that Grasshopper's 10-year plan includes 3 original IPs with maybe some reboots. This comes from Andy Robinson over at Video Games Chronicle. Speaking to VGC in a recent interview, the Japanese creator said he could even look to revive some of Grasshopper's older IPs or attempt to license dormant franchises from other companies, including maybe frequent collaborator Nintendo. Suda, who is more widely recognized by his nickname Suda51, is known for his stylish and violent action games, including Killer 7, No More Heroes, and Shadow of the Damned. We've got a general plan in place for the next 10 years. I wish I had anything like that in my life. At this point, we're planning on doing 3 titles over the next decade, 3 new IPs, he said. We've actually already begun the pre-production stuff on the first title, but I can't say anything about it just yet. Well, I wouldn't say the games we plan to make are going to be full-on AAA titles. They aren't exactly going to be really small scale or anything like 3DS shooter Liberation Maiden either. I'd say they're probably going to be around that AA scale game, as in the games themselves will be AA scale and the core team making them will be a relatively compact team. With regards to the 3 new IPs I mentioned, we may actually go on a slightly different route, he explained. What I mean is we may actually decide to do like 1 new original IP, the one that we're already working on, and then maybe a game version of an existing IP for the second game, and then maybe go back and do another one for the third one. The writer and director clarified that while Grasshopper doesn't own the licenses for the likes of No More Heroes and Killer 7, it does hold the rights for the Silver Case series, Flower, Sun, and Rain, Is Dead, and Shadow of the Damned. While I don't have any current plans or anything in the works, if I were going to go back and revisit some of our past titles, it would most likely be one of those, he confirmed. If I were to do something with our past titles, I don't know if it would be an actual sequel or something akin to a remake or remaster, but one thing I'd be interested in is revisiting Killer is Dead. And then he just kind of ended by expressing interest in maybe rebooting or remaking some older Nintendo IPs, but that was very much like this would be a cool thing to do, not like, oh, we're on the phone now or anything like that. So what is your read on this? What kind of stuff are you looking forward to? And what's like something that you might want to see come back?
You know, I'm really excited for this news for Blessing, because I know he's a big Suda fan. I loved the original No More Heroes. I loved that era, even the sequel, No More Heroes 2, I was big into. But at some point, I just realized, like, these games, I'm so excited they exist. They're not for me, and I am surprised there is an audience for them, but there is, and that's great, because I like when there are these like auteur type game developers that are just like, yo, I'm weird and we're gonna get weird, and Suda gets fucking weird, so that's awesome. I love that him going back to older IP, like there are there are cult followings for all of these games in different ways. So so it's like, that's cool. It's cool that there's a chance that they're going to be spoken to, and like that's not always the case when it comes to, you know, more obscure IP from maybe multiple generations ago. So that it's cool that this all might happen. I like that there's multiple projects they're talking about, but you know, this is one of those things where let's check back in a couple of years and see exactly what this turns into, because I'm not convinced that any of these products will necessarily see the light of day, or they all might.
Yeah, like it's one of those things where it's starting from a place that's exciting but also vague, and I think that's like most exciting things are a little bit vague, where we have this idea of all I hear from this is just, okay, new IPs, right? It's like, okay, cool, new stuff, maybe some old stuff. It's all good. Like, you have a little bit of those who are looking forward to just like new products coming out, and then those who maybe are like longtime fans. I'm in that similar boat where I'm not really like a big fan of like these series or like these, like the kind of general catalog. One thing that did stand out to me though from this is, even though it's probably like very much a shot in the dark, like I don't think we're necessarily see this, I'd be a little surprised, but rebooting or remaking some older Nintendo IPs that are sort of dormant, is there, even if it's not necessarily from this team, is there a Nintendo IP that's dormant that you would want to see some type of remake or reboot of?
Oh my God, so
many. Bonus points if you think the studio, like specifically, would be fun to handle it, but what are some that come to mind?
Well, playing through Metroid Dread, I said this a little bit on Gamescast a couple weeks ago, but it really made me believe that Star Fox can be relevant again. And I know that Nintendo's done everything in its power to make that not the case and make me not believe it, because Star Fox Zero was very bad. One of the rare Wii U Nintendo IP titles that was not good. You know, so many of them were bangers that then got ported to the Switch. Guess which one didn't get ported and why, right? There's something special about Star Fox, and I think that if they nail the kind of spacefaring adventure with the very character dialogue focused and like big epic set pieces and all that, that could be cool. I think that Suda's team might actually be pretty good at that. Like, they got the dialogue, they got the quips, they definitely have some fun hype epic set piece scale stuff. Even with the No More Heroes 3, they had a lot of that stuff. So like, that actually could work. Not necessarily my first go-to, but like, I think that could work. I want a new F-Zero desperately. It's been way too long. I mean, we got 2D Metroid back, so can't keep asking for that, although I want to ask for more. But yeah, I think that in order of how much I'd want it, Star Fox is the IP I want to come back the most, and then after that would be F-Zero.
I think Star Fox is also up there for me in the sense that since Star Fox has had like a bit of a rough history in some ways, I'm like, if this doesn't pan out, I also wouldn't be crushed. It's kind of in that, like, I don't know if I even want to call it B tier really, because I do know it's a big deal, but like, it's, there's a reason it hasn't been brought back in a way. And I think a revamp, if it was, even if it was middling, like, there would be people that would still be excited about it just because there hasn't been content in so long. So I think that'd be kind of a safe one. That, but those are the first ones I wrote down. I was looking at this morning and I was like, what are some of like the dormant IPs that I would be excited about? And I was like, F-Zero, Star Fox. And that's like, those are like the first ones that, yeah, come to mind. Golden Obviously, Sun. There's a bunch of other ones. Yeah, but like, I don't know that I'd want to see that from this team. But yes, Golden Sun does have like a really fond place in my heart. Yeah, I think Star Fox though would probably
the
be
saddest thing the right about bet. The saddest thing totally about Star Fox is that really there was only one good Star Fox game and they just like made it happen multiple times, because Star Fox 64 is essentially just a remake of Star Fox on the Super Nintendo, and then there's Star Fox 64 3DS or 3D or whatever the fuck you want to call it, and those are great, and then there's just a bunch of other ones. Star Fox Adventures, fantastic game, but I don't really count it as a Star Fox game. It's kind of just a Star Fox skinned action adventure, which is again a good game and cool. But then Star Fox Assault on GameCube is one third a fantastic game when you're flying through space just like in 64, and two thirds a disaster. Star Fox Command on the DS, nah, not for
you. But you know what, if you end up if you end up in that boat where you just keep restarting the beginning, you're playing a really awesome Star Fox game.
That is so true.
There you go, y'all. That's the life hack.
If anyone hasn't seen the opening mission of Star Fox Assault, after this show, go look it up on YouTube. It is so damn cool, and that's what I'm talking about wanting to see on the Switch. I want to see a Star Fox game with that energy.
It's the inverse of what was it, Kingdom Hearts 2, where the beginning is just like so not good. It's the opposite. So
yes, yes.
Definitely check that out if you haven't yet. Yeah, I haven't spent too. I feel like most of my Star Fox stuff came from like the Wii U era. So like, Star Fox has been sorry. It's been sparse. It's been weird. Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah, that pretty much sums it up, I think. Before we continue, let's go ahead and get a word from our sponsor.
This episode is brought to you by Canva. Design is such an integral part of making content, but dang, it's hard. Or it was hard until we started using Canva Pro. Now, I can design anything like a pro on any device. You can choose from thousands of customizable templates or start from scratch. It's something I love. I love the options there. Being able to go just look at a bunch of templates, it's helped with a lot of our promo imagery that we have to make. And it really kind of makes me feel like I know what I'm doing. It makes me feel like a genuine Andy Cortez. You love to see it. And Canva Pro has endless premium fonts, photos, videos, and so much more that add your own personal spice to whatever you're designing. You and four teammates can design together, unlock everything Canva Pro has to offer for just $12.99 a month. You can design like a pro with Canva Pro. Right now, you can get a free 45-day extended trial when you use our promo code. Just go to canva.me/KFGD to get your free 45-day extended trial. That's canva.me/KFGD. KFGD. Canva.me/KFGD to get your free 45-day extended trial. And next up, shout out to ButcherBox. Nothing beats quality meats. And with ButcherBox, you get more than just high quality meat. You also get holistically sourced meat because ButcherBox always keeps the farmer, the planet, the animal, and your family in mind. Gia blew my mind recently when she made a grilled buffalo chicken sandwich. It was so good. I love ButcherBox. Every month, ButcherBox will ship a curated selection of high-quality meat right to your home. Each box contains between 8 to 14 pounds of meat, depending on your box type. It's a lot of meat. It's enough for 24 individual meals. The meat has no antibiotics or added hormones and is always packed fresh and shipped frozen for your convenience. Right now, ButcherBox is offering new members a 10 to 16-pound turkey free in the first box. Perfect timing for Thanksgiving. Just go to butcherbox.com/KFGD to sign up. That's butcherbox.com/KFGD to receive a free turkey in your first box. ButcherBox.com/KFGD to get that free turkey.
Several of her ribs. Oh, we're back.
Hey, what's up? How's it going, y'all? Let's talk about Xbox Game Pass subscriber growth slowing down this year. I have no idea how much of that was heard or what's going on. We're powering right through. This comes from Matt Kim over at IGN. The article reads, Game Pass subscribers have slowed in the fiscal year 2021, according to new documents released by Microsoft. In a new financial statement, Microsoft revealed that Xbox Game Pass subscribers rose by 37.5%, falling short of its internal target of 47.8%. In contrast, last year, Microsoft overperformed on its targets to grow Xbox Game Pass, increasing subscriptions by nearly 86% over a goal of 71%. What this means is that Microsoft's Xbox Game Pass subscriptions have slowed this year, and it's likely a combination of factors. One of the key promises of Xbox Game Pass is that first-party titles will be available on the service day and date. So far in 2021, first-party titles have been relegated to mostly Age of Empires remasters, Microsoft Flight Simulator, and Psychonauts 2. New first-party titles like Age of Empires 4 and Halo Infinite are still months away and will deliver on Game Pass's promise of major first-party day and date releases. Does the slowing down of Game Pass surprise you? What's your current state of Game Pass? Like, how often are you using it? What are you excited about coming to the platform, et cetera?
I am a little surprised that the numbers are falling short of their targets, because I think Microsoft's been doing a very good job of keeping a consistent cadence of releases on Game Pass of high quality, like high premium titles, like even as recently as Back 4 Blood. Like, in addition to all their first party titles being day and date, having these third party partnerships, especially for games like Back 4 Blood that really need that kind of community and need that install base to thrive, I think is fantastic. But at the end of the day, it's not the craziest thing, because we do have the heaviest hitters still to come with the likes of Halo specifically. Age of Empires 4, I think, is one of those titles that is going to get the bump of Game Pass, as opposed to like making it a Game Pass a hit, where I think more people will play it just because they have Game Pass than normally would. But it's not necessarily going to convert people to Game Pass itself. But then we have Forza, which I think is kind of going to be a bit more of a middle ground, where it might convert some people to be like, oh, you know what? I've been on the fence about Game Pass, but this is a title that instead of buying it, I am just going to get onto to Game Pass instead, which at the end of the day is going to become long-term more valuable for Microsoft. So I think that the numbers make a little bit of sense. I think that the falling short is also a difficult thing to comprehend, because when they had such a crazy spike over the last couple of years from like zero to just their mega huge install base they have now, there's going to be some tapering off when they're not bringing the core IP of Microsoft and Xbox Game Studios that I think we'll start to see, hopefully starting with Halo. I mean, definitely starting with Halo multiplayer, but then going through with, you know, the rest of the catalog that they have coming. And once we start to see this era of Bethesda games and like all the Xbox studios that they bought kind of go away and it turning into the pure Xbox era, the like, here are all Xbox game studios firing on all cylinders, making Xbox games from the ground up for the Xbox ecosystem, I think that these numbers are going to skyrocket.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I also think it's, I don't even know how they go about measuring, like, what, I'm sure they have like systems in place to project like realistically what their goal should be based on like all the analytics that they have. Like, that's very much their job. But I think like it's always hard to sort of predict what's a good enough goal where it's you know, suitable for where you're at, but also contingent on all these other factors that you can't control. I also think that like the boom in Game Pass too, last year with the pandemic being like such a factor in, I think, the rise of people playing games. And obviously we're still in the pandemic and still feeling a lot of the like sociological effects of the pandemic, but we're also at that point where a lot of society is realizing that we'll probably be in this for a really long time and need to start like figuring out long-term sustainable ways to work and live and do all these other things. So, and of course with the vaccine rolling out too, like there's just been more going on. But yeah, I think that really what this takes is getting people to have that one game that sort of brings them into Game Pass. I feel like Game Pass is one of those things where you end up converting to it and then you just kind of stay there and then you just live there and it's just one of the bills you pay, which can be for better or worse, depending on where you are on like your interest level. But Game Pass for me is just something I like to have on deck at the ready. Like it's just convenient to be able to say I can have a place where I can just peruse and not have to spend anything extra because I'm already paying for it, and just be able to pick up a game that I'm interested in and try stuff out. And especially with them introducing the ability to like immediately launch games that they're like rolling out with cloud, like it's gonna be so easy to just quickly just install and then uninstall and just kind of surf through titles that way. So that's what I'm looking forward to, or what I've been enjoying with my Game Pass subscription. Obviously it always hits so well whenever you are playing those day and date titles where I'm like, I have that moment of, you know, and sometimes I get codes for things, obviously, but where I'm like, oh, there's this title, like, let me like pick this up or whatever. I'm like, oh, it's ready now. I already have it. It's the best feeling when, or I'll even for like, you know, a behind the scenes thing of like, oh, let me put in a request for this. Oh, actually, I don't, you know, unless I have to do the content before like pre-embargo, I'm like, oh, I don't need to, because I can just go on Game Pass and it's already ready there. And it's like one, also in that sense, one less thing for like those teams and PR firms to have to worry about, because like if you're like a content creator or a player or wherever, whatever reason that you're interested in picking up this game, like it's just there at the ready. And it's so cool to like, a lot of times when I'm streaming Xbox games, like so many of those are on Game Pass, and to be able to like have people in chat say, oh, I want to check this out. Oh, great, it's on Game Pass. Like I already have this. And I think that will continue to move the needle for them in different ways. But yeah, definitely the big hitters are going to be what will sustain it. And I think, you know, they have those lined up for this year. And it's just kind of a matter of time. Any other thoughts on Game Pass before we continue on?
Yeah, just the last two things I have to say is like, I think that on top of it being a great deal, they make it really easy to be an even better deal. There's so many discounts for this thing, and there's so many ways to get the price down even cheaper than the already cheap price that it's being offered at. And on top of that, you can subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe, like whatever you want for specific games and specific times. And like, that's cool. And I, you know, I don't think that that will always be the case. I do think at some point, you know, Microsoft, they're still playing catch up. They're still building this structure right now. So there will come a time where, you know, they're feeling themselves a little bit more, and, you know, the rules are going to get a little bit more strict. So enjoy it while it lasts, because what they're offering right now is truly incredible and truly industry changing, like shifting. This is going to change the way games are played, made, everything. So good on them. I love it. I love that we have a vibrant Sony, Nintendo, and Microsoft all doing different things, going in different directions that result in more high-quality games than we've ever had before.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's move to our next story. With new video reveals Starfield settled systems. This comes from Ed Nightingale at Eurogamer. The article reads, a new video on Starfield gives us a look at the settled systems and plenty of concept art. But as this space RPG will take place in the settled systems, an area that extends outwards from our solar system for approximately 50 light years. Around 20 years before the start of the game, two factions, the United Colonies and the Free Star Collective, engaged in a bloody colony war. Fast forward to 2330 and the settled systems are in an uneasy peace, but between mercenaries, space pirates, spacers, and religious zealots, there are plenty of dangerous humans out there. Players will explore the settled systems as part of the organization Constellation, dedicated to uncovering the mysteries of the galaxy. And a reminder that this game is set to come out November 11, 2022 on PC and Xbox, and will be via day one on Game Pass, which we were just talking about.
You know, this is crazy. And again, kindoffunny.com/you're wrong about this, but you really got to love the strategy they have with this title. I don't think there has ever been a game with the release date this far out. Let me know if I'm wrong. I remember there was a big deal about Halo 2's release date, but even that, I think, was like within 9 months of them announcing it. Like, this date, when it was announced, was way over a year, right? And I love that they're kind of building that. And every time they're going to be talking about this game a whole bunch, and they're going to keep driving it home. Day one on Game Pass. Day one on Game Pass. It builds a narrative of, hey, there's a whole bunch of games that are going to be coming out that you're going to want to play on Game Pass, and you're definitely going to want to have it for that. So you might as well get it now and just have it till then. You know, get used to it. Get cozy. Play some games. Have fun.
What's your excitement level for this game at this point?
I mean, this goes back to like big open world stuff. Not necessarily my thing, but I'm very, really excited about it. But yeah, so hold on. I'm a Jedi in the chat saying, what, Tim? That's definitely not the case. I can't think of any off the top of my head.
Yeah, I think it's, I always feel like those absolutes like usually end up being wrong, but then also what would be a different one that would have like a date that far out, especially a specific date. Because usually there's like
that's
windows.
That's what I'm saying. It's a specific
but
date.
Like a hard date that's like, yeah, it's pretty far out there. And I'd say definitely a rarity in some ways. But yeah, I'm looking forward to hearing more about like the gameplay. I am excited for this. It definitely is a little bit, I don't say outside of my realm of genre preference, but like I also am not like the biggest open world person, but I'm really excited for what Bethesda is doing right now. So I'm looking forward to seeing, you know, more about this title and getting, you know, a look at the actual gameplay and a sense of what we're really going to be doing outside of this sort of beginning. I think this is definitely like the beginning of more concrete moments for Starfield. I'm looking forward to more, maybe even like, you know, a feature in like a more in-depth presentation or anything like that. So we'll see how it ends up turning out. Moving on to Epic Games announcing publishing partners with Eyes Out and Spry Fox. This was announced on their official website where they wrote, today we're excited to announce publishing partnerships with two rapidly growing independent studios, Eyes Out and Spry Fox. The game studios are currently in the early stages of developing their original titles. Eyes Out is a brand new Los Angeles-based studio, shout out to LA, co-founded by veteran game designer Corey Davis, Spec Ops The Line, and Nine Inch Nails guitarist Robin Fink. In 2019, Davis and Fink received an Epic Mega Grant, allowing them to begin work on a proof of concept for their first game. Impressed by their early work and vision, Epic funded a prototype to further their innovative game idea and expand their team. Eyes Out's first title will be an as-yet-unannounced multi-platform cosmic horror game built using the Unreal Engine. And then for the Spry Fox part of things, earlier this year, the studio released Cozy Grove, a life sim game that combined crafting, collection, discovery, and a memorable narrative. The team is now partnered with Epic Games and using Unreal Engine, Epic Online Services, and Epic Account Services to build its most ambitious title to date, a multi-platform, non-violent, persistent multiplayer game designed to encourage friendship and reduce loneliness in the world. The title will support cross-play and cross-progression. And then an additional note, because I'm like, Spry Fox, I'm like, I know them from more than just Cozy Grove. They also made Alpha Bears 1 and 2, which I never, like, it did not click for me when I was playing Cozy Grove that they did that. Because I'm like, that's why the bears look the same. I was like, when I saw, I was like, these look like the Alpha Bear bears. That's because it's from the same place. Also, Alpha Bears 1 and 2, such a fun mobile game. It's a word game. It's like Boggle, but with bears. It's awesome. They also made Road Not Taken, which is a roguelike puzzle game, Bushido Bear, and Triple Town. What's your read on what these, like, are those pitches exciting to you?
Not really. Like, this is cool. I like the idea of Epic Games trying to like branch out and like do some different things. And with the thing we saw recently with the Radiohead collaboration on the PlayStation side, I like that the different artists are kind of like getting involved with some of these different types of things with video games. Video games are branching out. They're turning into more than they've ever been before. So that's exciting to me. But like, I want to see some of these experiments like turn out better than we've seen in the past. Like, did that Elijah Wood Ubisoft project ever actually happen?
I don't know.
But it's like, I
don't know.
I can't wait for the day that like these type of things like actually happen and have consequence in the world and aren't just kind of like, oh, that's a cool announcement, and then just like go away.
Yeah, for sure. Also, unrelated but related based on who it is, are you a Nine Inch Nails fan?
Not really. I mean, I'm a fan of, I like some of their songs, but I'm not a fan.
Yeah, that's fair. For me, I'm intrigued by the idea of cosmic horror. And I'm down for what Spry Fox is working on. I'm a fan of Alpha Bears. I wasn't a big fan of Cozy Grove, admittedly, but I'm down to check out what they have working on next. I think the idea of, it's always slightly intriguing to me when games are like pitching with like a non-violent angle, just because I enjoy like, just it's sort of a different take that you, I mean, you see plenty of games do it, so I'm not gonna act like, oh, there's no non-violent games out there. But I do think it kind of speaks to like what they're looking to do, and I'm curious as to what that'll look like. It sounds really cool that it'll have crossplay and cross progression as well. I'm liking seeing that be more of a staple. So yeah, I'm excited to see, you know, what comes out of these. But you know, we'll have to stay tuned and see what they're like when we hear more on these titles. Again, hopefully these pop up at some showcases and we can be like, oh yeah, like that's that thing that we heard about before. Yeah. And you kind of start to see like the trickle down effect of what this actually, you know, ends up being. Before we end the show, I do want to give a quick PSA. I didn't want to make this a full story because, you know, just for sake of time, but applications for the new Jackie Robinson Foundation and PlayStation MLB The Show scholarships are open. This is over at the PlayStation blog if you want to read more about it, but a very short version of it is just that back when the game launched, they're like, yo, we're going to give $1 for every, you know, collector's edition that's sold. And they use that money, like kind of donated to like this sort of charity pool. And they're using that money to create a scholarship. The scholarship is giving financial aid. It is for students of color, specifically Black high school students. So U.S. based, all that. Again, go to the website to read the details. But basically, it culminates to financial aid for college and also a paid internship at San Diego Studio. And you get mentorship as well. So it seems like a really awesome experience. So definitely check that out. If some of those things apply to you, you can see if it's, you know, up your alley, if it fits, if you have the other criteria. And then just on that note, too, I want to give a shout out to like, it's very much internship season. So if you're a college student, a high school student, or even just like out there looking for internships in general, I know I saw that Nintendo of America has internship applications open. Insomniac's hiring for summer 2022. 1000 Dreams Fund, Twitch Broadcaster. Like if you look up Broadcaster Grant Twitch, it'll come up. They have scholarships all the time. They have their fall 2021 applications open where they give two or more grants of $500 to $1,500 to women who are doing like gaming stuff. And it's meant to be like, hey, if you like need a PC, you know, you mentioned that expensive PC that like you may or may not have, you can use the money for that, or you can use it for like different upgrades or going to conventions and things. So, you know, if you're in that demographic, definitely keep an eye out for other opportunities. But those are some things that I saw offhand. I think the PlayStation thing is like super cool, like especially with like MLB The Show having such a DNA with that company. Totally. Anyway, but yeah, I just wanted to shout those things out because I think they're pretty cool. Getting landing those internships or scholarships or whatever is so far away. If I wanted to know what's coming to Mom and Grab Shops today, where would I look?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform is listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
It's so ugly. Out today, Spectacular Sparky on Switch and PC, Corpse Party on PS4, Xbox One, Switch and PC, Silver Chains on Xbox One, Energy Cycle on Xbox Series X/S, Sheepo on Series X/S, and One and Switch, Clank 2 on PC, they always run on PC, Princess Loop Pixel again on Xbox One, Bat's Bloodsuckers Anti-Terror Squad on Switch, Jars on Switch, which I'm really curious, is that an acronym or is it just like a collection of jars? Crazy Gravity on Switch, Hymno the Silent Melody on PC, Elyon on PC, they always run on PC, and Gravewood High out on PC. Tim, could you pull up your wrong why read who the rest of this week's hosts are, which Thursday it's Tam and Tim for Tim Tam Thursdays. And then Friday it is Blessing and me joining again. And if you're watching live on Twitch after this, Mike and Nick are playing Operation Tango. Is that for today or that might have been left out from yesterday?
That was yesterday.
New World. How was Operation Tango?
It was really fun. And eventually Nick and Mike really clicked. Is like inspiring to watch.
It takes like. Can you say one more time what's after this?
New World. We will be playing New World and some fun clips, I think.
Okay, dope. Any you're wrongs?
Yes, there are. And what's funny is I actually was gonna. You're wrong myself and correct myself. I said that Lord Solar Power was the last CD that I bought, and I was kicking myself. I'm like, is that right? And I was thinking, and I looked back at my Amazon. That is technically not correct. And someone called me out here. Tim said the latest CD he bought was Lord Solar Power, but Solar Power isn't available on CD. It's only available in this dumbass discless CD album thing and on vinyl. I did buy it on vinyl, but I was upset that it's not on CD. This is it. This is the beginning of the end. But the last CD that I bought was Dua Lipa's Future Nostalgia Midnight Edition, which is a fucking fantastic album, and I recommend it to everybody. But yeah, I hate this shit of people not doing CDs. I get it. It makes sense. I know that I'm one of the only people out there buying them. That's why they're not making them. But yeah, it's upsetting. Besides that, nanobiologists wrote and said that no PC PlayStation games are not tied to PSN. They are through Steam. You get Steam achievements, not trophies. This is also the case for most Xbox games you get on Steam. So that's a bummer. I'm really, really hoping for a cross-progression future where they nail that stuff. Cross-save, cross-progress, all that stuff. And then Seb writes in and says, Tim mentioned Halo multiplayer as a benefit to Game Pass. It's free to play regardless of Xbox Live or Game Pass. That's a really good point. Really good point. So we'll see what that does. I wonder if Game Pass is going to have any type of battle pass systems or something, like some level of like, well, if you have Game Pass, you get this for Halo Infinite, because I think that's going to be a big win for them. But we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, that would definitely be a fun incentive. Thanks for reading those out. And remember, this has been Kinda Funny Games Daily, where each and every weekday live right here on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames, we run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. We have a Patreon post show for those who are subbed at the silver level of patreon.com/kindafunnygames. So stick around for that. Otherwise, until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.